Thank God for this opportunity to sit at his feet, to learn of him. This morning I'll be speaking to the topic, the life of the church, the Holy Spirit in the church's public life or public worship. The Holy Spirit in the church's public worship. The church, like any other structure, is built to meet its intended purpose. The church is built to meet its intended purpose. Let's read from Matthew chapter 16. Then we'll take verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, this word now means formerly it was not like that, but now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So now, God has decided to choose the church as his weapon of warfare, the church. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The church is supposed to do greater works than what Jesus even did. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he meant the most powerful institution on earth. If God is building an institution, what kind of institution on earth will be able to stand at it or against it? The church is supposed to pull down strongholds. And it has been wired just to do that. It is not a weakling. The church is the most powerful institution on earth. And if you belong to it, you need to change your mind. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he meant the most powerful institution on earth, as depicted by the prophet Micah. Let's go to Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Micah 4, 1 and 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Now listen, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. If it is the chief among the mountains, once it is raised, all the other mountains become hills now. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his path. The Lord will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The church in the last days is depicted as the mountain of God. All other institutions are hills. There is none that can be compared to the church of God. This is the institution that God has established. All others are under the church. Micah prophesies that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above the hills, the other institutions. Consider for a moment his description of the church, the house of the Lord, the house where the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the owner, the creator lives as a mountain. The church as the mountain of God implies that the church stands tall among the rest of societal institutions. They are hills so far as the church, the mountain, is concerned. The prophecy depicts that in the last days, the institutions of the world, the hills, shall go forth from to the mount of the Lord, the church, and be taught about the ways of the Lord. If you need to be taught, if nations have to be taught about the ways of the Lord, it's not the parliaments that will have to do that. They have to come to the church. It is the most powerful institution on earth. Let us be panicky when anything is rising in this world. The church is the mount of God. All others are hills. If the church will have to rise and take her place, all other will look up to the church for direction. I believe the fulfillment of this prophecy will be hastened if the church will rise to its purpose, the reason why she was given birth to. When Jesus said, "I'll build my church," he again meant an institution or a people that the gates of Hades cannot stand. When we are talking about gates, we are talking about the decisions of hell. In the ancient days, meetings were held at the gates. But when we say the gates of hell will not be able to stand against the church, what it means is that the strategies of hell, the mind of hell, the thoughts of hell, the schemes of hell, when they come to the gates of the kingdom, they have to halt. They can't. There is no institution on earth that is greater than the church. It is therefore the fault of the church when nations are being corrupted. When the church keeps quiet, other institutions will rise. When the church rises, all others should be hills under the mountain. All others should be hills under the mountain. And because of this, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," he meant, "I will build." The church, like any other structure, is built to meet its purpose. And if the church is supposed to be an institution that will shut the mouth of principalities and powers, rulers and authorities, how strong will its foundation be? So Jesus said, "I will build my church. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church." The rock, as Jesus revealed, cannot be Peter. No. Peter is too fearful to be the foundation that will build this church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not stand against it. And then he moved on and says that, "Peter, I'll give you the keys of hell. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven." That is the institution. God is always waiting for the church. When we bind, it will be bound in heaven. When the church is weak, heaven is weak, because we have become the hands and the legs of the Almighty God. I pray that there will be some stirring in your spirit. so that the church will rise in power again and take the nations. For the war streets should not determine how nations should go. The church must set the pace and the agenda. The rock on which Jesus will build his church was not left for humanity to determine. If it is going to be solid, that the gates of hell will not stand, if it's going to be solid to combat principalities and powers, Peter has no idea about principalities and powers. So the foundation of the church was built by God himself. It says that upon this rock I will build my church. It is in Peter. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Shall we read together? He is the rock. That's all. There should be no dispute about this at all. You say, Jesus is the apostle. According to the New Testament, he is the apostle. So when Paul writes, say, Paul, an apostle. When we are talking about the apostle, it's only one person, Jesus. When we are talking about the rock, there's only one rock. Christ is the rock. Look at the definite article, T-H-E, the rock. His works are perfect. So he said, he is the rock. And he said, his works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just. He is the rock. Verse 30 and 31 of the same chapter, please. How could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock, look at the capital letter, had sold them, unless their Lord. So he replaces the rock with the Lord, has given them up. For their rock, small letter R, it's not like our rock, big letters R. Even our enemies concede. The devil knows it. The devil himself, he knows it. But it is for you to know who you are. In my first station, friends of mine who knew about the history of the place, one of them said, Eric, what have you done that your people have sent you to this station? Don't you know that there are that thing and that thing there? Then I didn't care about that. And I didn't know that until these friends told me. And then when I began to open my eyes and look closely, I saw. And sometimes when we are praying, even in church, the members will pray. And then I saw the things they feared. One night, the middle of the night, I heard a sound of, I can't describe, it cannot be a bed. But this thing came to stand on top of our building. Same like that. It was quite heavy, couldn't be a bed. Then my wife said, what is this? Let's go out and see. It was too late to go out. Then I told her, this is just a structure. Anything can come and stand on it. But it can't touch me. For the rock is in my spirit. The next day, one woman came to our house. Pastor, you don't like sleeping at all. When I was showing you, I don't like sleeping. If you come again, you see, I'll put pepper in your eyes. They may have rock, but their rock is not our rock. The Bible says even our enemies, they know. Even our enemies, they know. You don't know into what you have been born into. You don't know it. You don't know. May the Lord open our eyes. First Corinthians 10. I read 1 to 4. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forebears were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. That rock that accompanied them was Christ. One of my presiding elders that I love so much, very simple preacher, one day said, you see, the rock was Christ. So when God said, Moses, speak to the rock, and then Moses struck the rock with the stick, he hit God's head. And God said, wish. You have killed me. So Moses, you are not going to go to Canaan. I have not forgotten. So the rock was Christ. And then Moses struck God's head. God said, Moses, that thing is painful. Oh, thank God for our fathers. So they used to tell us all this, but it was working. Maybe you can think about it. Otherwise, when we go there, we'll ask him what really happened on that day. See, there was a rock that they were drinking from. And the Bible says this rock has not just been revealed when Jesus said, I will build on this rock. The rock was following them. It was from the rock they drank. It was from the rock they had their strength. That rock is still with us. 1 Corinthians 3, please. Verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation for the church other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when he said upon this rock, he didn't leave any room for speculation. The Bible interprets itself. Sometimes we disturb ourselves so much by saying that the Greek says, the Hebrew says, the Bible is an interpreter. I'm not against the learning Greek or Hebrew. Sometimes they say the Greek means rock, the French means the Bible is an interpreter. It is better to know the Bible in whole than to know in parts and disturb ourselves if Greek says, Hebrew says. This is what the Bible says. It says the foundation is Jesus Christ. It leaves room for no speculation. It is okay. And he is the Lord. So this one tarries with what Deuteronomy says, that the rock is the Lord. So he said the rock is Christ. Who are we then, and who was Peter? 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll take verse 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, him, Christ, the living stone. You know that rock is a big stone. And this one, the writer say, brought capital S to tell us that he's referring to a certain somebody. Rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, small letter S, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is Peter speaking. He says, you also. Now, Peter is referring to the believers as you also. But what about himself? Chapter 5, please. Verse 1. Now, look at Peter. He's referring to the believers, though his hearers, including the elders, that you are stones. You are stones. You are pebbles. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So if he was referring to the church as stones, and he's a fellow elder, is he the rock? So stone. So Peter belongs to our category. He is not the rock. He is a stone, like us. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, James, Peter, John, these are supposed to be stones, Anna. Those repeated to be pillars. Now, he didn't say they were pillars. They had the image of pillars. Otherwise, they are stones. Gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to them, they agreed that we should go out to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. James, Peter, John, leaders of the church, stones, but they have a reputation as pillars. What does that mean? It means that in the church that God is building, all of us like stones are being used to build a spiritual house. These ones are like pillars. That is why it says repeated to be pillars. When does a stone become a pillar? Genesis 28. Genesis 28, I read from verse 18. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar. So it was still a stone, but now he has set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. So when you're talking about God's house, the church, the household of God, a picture of that was depicted to Jacob long time ago. And then he says that this stone that I have placed as a pillar, I will go and come back. When I come to where this stone is, I'll offer a tenth of all that I have. Now, how will he know when he gets to Bethel or lose? How will he know that this is the pillar amongst the stones? What is the sign that he was going to look for? Yes. He was going to look for the stone with the oil. Let me tell you this. There are certain stones have certain oil. And that certain stones become the certain pillars of the church. Because you must look for the one that is strong to be a pillar. That is why in the New Testament, James, the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee, when James was killed, those days, they were the three pillars that Jesus used to walk with. Now, he would have poured a lot more in them than the others. and he would have left the church in their hands to be leaders. When he was killed, one of the three pillars had been effectively broken. The strategy the devil mounted was that he caused Herod to arrest another pillar. He was very strategic. He wouldn't go for Thomas, no. He wouldn't go for Judas. It would have been better for maybe us. But he went for another pillar. And the Bible said the church prayed. And heaven came down and rescued him. Because that would have been a disaster. How many of us would not want to settle for ordinary stones, but want to be pillars in the house of God? Yeah. I pray that there will be special oil on all of us. But there are differences in churches. This strong church of God that he wants to build, that the gates of Hades will not stand against. When you come to denominations and churches, there are differences. At least we can have some clue from Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Please, I'll read verse 11. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, he is comparing two groups of, if you like, believers. So the church in Thessalonica and the church in Berea, or the brethren in Thessalonica or the brethren in Berea, or the Jewish Christians in Thessalonica and the Jewish Christians in Berea. He says that these ones were not like this, but the foundation is Christ. But why is it that the churches are turning out different? Why? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 3. And let's read from verse 15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. For the foundation is laid. Now verse 12 is critical. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will receive his reward. If it burns up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through flames. Now let's go to verse 12 again. Verse 12 again. Let's read together. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now listen. So that the foundation is the same. But please go back to 12. The foundation is the same, but men will be building on it. And how it will come up will depend on the man and the material. So if any man, so two of us, myself, another man, another person, another woman, we are all laying on the foundation, building on it. If the man, so the person you have to look at is the man. Very important, the man. The second point is the materials he's using to build. So it is the man and the material he's using to build that will determine a porous or a solid church. That is why you can see differences in churches. Even in the same denomination, you can see differences in districts. Normally, it depends on the man there and the material with which he is building. When I used to be a district pastor, I used to fight sometimes with pastors, especially when after a retreat and some elders or officers did not come, and they were trying to tell the area head that we have to actually make sure that the elders who don't come, we bring them back to members. We have to write letters to them. Then I'll say, no, don't let us do that. Even we ourselves are pastors. We need constant training. And some of them will be, but you see, in my mind, what I have in mind that I cannot tell them is this. The same elders that are not committed, you let them take this man away and bring another man with fire. Bring another man with fire. These cold elders will rise. You'll be surprised. These very elders that are not coming for meetings, that they say we should send them back, bring another pastor. Take this pastor from them. Bring another pastor with fire. You'll be surprised. So it is the man and the material he's building with. When Cain and Abel went to offer to God, I was surprised when I read this in the Old Testament, the first time I saw it, in Genesis 4, 3 and 4, please, if we can travel back to Genesis. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the first bones of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Look at how he's separating the people from their offering. And then, but on Cain and his offering. Now listen. So it's not so much about what he had in mind. What God was interested in, number one, was the man himself. Now, God didn't like Cain, so he didn't like his offering. There are certain people that God does not like. You think about that. Yeah. There are certain people, they lift their hands and God will turn his face. That is why Paul says that, let the man lift holy hands, because some hands will go up and God will turn his face. If he doesn't like you, it doesn't matter how much you do. You go and stand at the other end and frustrate your effort. But when he likes you, and you are his lover, the little you do, he breathes upon them and it turns great. So don't think about preaching first. Think about yourself, who you are. What you have on the inside. I have learned not to grade ministers with their preaching. After being an area head for a while, I realized that there was a station that my best pastor was not a good preacher. He was an exhorter. If you give him too much time, he will be going back and forth, back and forth. It is good to preach the word. But he was not the best of them. But they were orators. If they were born in the palace, they would have been linguists. And sometimes we replace the dynamism of people to anointing. That is wrong. These are just dynamic people. They are not anointed. They are not. So I decided not to grade people on that score, because the best of my pastors that I knew, the one who could challenge me with his heart, sometimes when he comes, the things he says, he shames me. That his thinking causes me to rise to do more. He was not the best of the preachers. So the man, the one building on the foundation, is defined by the set of core values that drives him. Now that man, the set of values that drives him or her. the character, the mindset, his vision, the passion, and the purpose he lives for. The purpose that man lives for, the passion he works with, his mindset, his vision, his character, what really drives him, the values that drives him. Listen to him. Listen to what he put premium on. If he's always talking about, I want to change my car because this, I want to do this, ask for this station, ask for that. Look at him. The values, where he puts his premium on, his mindset, where he wants to go. What drives him? His character. Philippians chapter 1. We are looking at the man now. Philippians 1. I read verse 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. That is the Apostle Paul. Now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This one will not care where you post him. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary. That is a man speaking from prison. It is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you, all of you, for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Let's read the 27 together. Ready, go. Whatever happens, it's okay. This is a whatever happens man. I'm torn between the two. But whatever happens, whether I'm killed or I'm released, can we have a whatever happened believer, church member, pastor? People get so panicky when it is transfer time. They get panicky because they have their own choices. Now, in the Old Testament, you didn't determine where your sacrifice should go. It was the priest who will show you where your sacrifice should go. If you have decided to be a pastor, lift up your hands and your legs and leave where we will post you in our hands. You don't determine where your sacrifice. The foundation of ministry is sacrifice. Whatever happens. My second station was not a big town those days. And then one pastor said, Eric, why are you always on touchline, touchline? Today, I see them, such people. Today, I see them. He wanted me to come to the 18. But God was not interested in bringing me to the 18. My next station was in South Africa. And I met a certain group of people that God actually gave me. He gave me to them. And then they did it for me. I went to South Africa for a lot of rough edges. Rough edges. So this one will cut this part. Bang, this part bang. They were actually crucifying me. When I came back, I realized that Samaya, fine. Yeah. All my rough edges were gone. I came back from South Africa, a very good pastor. You see, I knew that I was a good pastor. Because the people, they have dealt with me. they never spared me at all. So when I came back, so when we went to meetings at the pastors in Ghana are speaking and saying, "You people, you don't know what you are talking about. They should send you there and go and meet them." But God did this because of today. It was part of my destiny. The man who mentored me, my father, Apostle Anson, told me that I shouldn't look at him. I should look to God. And I picked it. When I was taken to South Africa, I thought he had done something about it. It was late on that he told me that he didn't know anything about it. Only they were in a meeting when Apostle B.K. Atta mentioned my name. And all that he did was, Irade. He was just praying. You know, the man with his usual humor was praying. And then I passed. But when I went to South Africa, I suffered. The suffering started the very first day that I was welcome. I was sitting under a chill like this one. Very cold. It was in April and it was winter then. And I sat down for a long time. When they called me to give my speech, I couldn't speak. Because I was shivering. And that one alone, I was totally disgraced. They know that I'm a tropical man and what is this man coming to do here? I couldn't look through my nose because they had to literally bring heater because of me. They brought the heater and they placed it at my back. Krasini has come to town. But all this was in my destiny. The man. Chapter 3 of Philippians. From verse 7. But whatsoever, but, okay, let me go to chapter 2, 20 and 21 will be better. I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. This is Paul struggling to get somebody, one of his companions, to send. He says that I look at them and their mind, their values is a problem. They look for their own interests, not the things of God. I can't get them. Let's go and look at Paul himself. Chapter 3 from 7. But whatsoever was to me profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Look at his mentality. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and by his faith. I want to know Christ and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, not two things, not three things, one. Forgetting what is behind, I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. All of us who have been called should take such a view of things. Not materialistic. Not a preference of what you want to become, where you want to go, where you want to stay, the food you want to eat, the car you want to drive. All of us. All of us.
Brani mu ye den
na weni daswasa obehwe o
erani behwe o erani
behwe wa
amana
nesi
wo ye
obehwe o
erani behwe o
Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger of rivers, in danger of bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Why? Didn't he have feelings? But there was, his mindset was different. One day, whilst he was going to travel outside, this is what he said. I only, and now completed, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. How many of us have been warned like that? However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Then when he moved on, Agabus, a revered prophet, came, took his belt, and then in the glare of all the people, bound his hands and then the legs and said, that is what is going to happen to the one whose belt is this as he moves to Jerusalem. And all of them started begging him. But Paul, don't go, don't go. He said, hey, don't scare me, Agabus. I have already been told when he met me in Damascus, you are only confirming. Don't scare me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Don't scare me with your prophecy. I have already been told that the hardship awaits me. So don't scare me. And then he moved on. Hardship came on him. But whilst he was in prison, the Lord was still with him. So the differences in church depends on the man. Secondly, the material with which he's building with. Sometimes a pastor may have a congregation of about 2,000. And then you ask him, how many Bible study materials do you need? And he will say 20. Because he's going to make photocopies. When he goes, you give it to the leaders. Please take. Instead of spending time standing on his feet, calling the leaders, teaching them lesson by lesson. He doesn't want to sweat. He wants a cheap business. He is building with hay, straw. But the day will reveal it. First Corinthians 15. I like this particular verse too much. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. We are looking at the material. And his grace to me was not without effect. The grace that God gave me was not without effect. It produced effects. The grace should produce evidence. People should see that there's grace on your life. It was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That is Paul. Grace on him, cause and effect. He worked very hard. Colossians 1 from 26. The mystery that have been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Teaching with all wisdom, so that you will present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling. Now look at the two words, labor. Struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The energy of God should work in us powerfully. And then it cannot work in us powerfully when you are sluggish. He says, I labor. I do the work of a laborer. I roll up my sleeves. I get into the gutters. I go for people that people don't want. One day some lepers crossed Jesus. And then they said, Master, if you will make us whole. What they are saying is that we have been taken to the outskirts of the city because they don't will us. They don't want us. Our wives don't want us. Our family members don't want us because of this ailment. But if you will, then Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched them. He says, I will be whole. Who will go? Who will go? How many of us are going to jump out of our cars and go? The quality of material that you are building with. If you sleep with the members on Saturday and then you all wake up the same time on Sunday, how can you lift them up? To not. Try to spend a lot of time on this, all my time, in fact, on this one. I've not even ventured into the life. But when you do these two things, if you become the right man and use the right material, life will flow from you. The Bible says that To some are made apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some that, for the equipping of the saints. I don't like the equipping that much. I like the King James, which says, for the perfecting of the saints. Because for the equipping, God has put so many things in us. But your duty is to be an eye-opener, that this is who you are, this is who you are. So that they will be able to rise and do battle. I think that I'll end here, but I